and calling in, making requests. And let's start. Watch this. I got some great, great movies for you today. Five of my flicks. Dirty Harry, Saturday Night Fever, Do the Right Thing, There Will Be Blood, and Watchmen. And for those of you who have not listened to Watch This before, what I do is I talk about the movies and I play the soundtracks from the movies. So I did a deep dive and I've got some great soundtracks for you today. And we will also do See It, Watch It, Skip It. See It, Rent It, Skip It. I always say the wrong thing there. See It, Rent It, Skip It, which is what's showing now in the theaters, the top 10 box office over the weekend. And I'll tell you whether to see it, rent it, or just skip it altogether if it's worth your $15 to go see the movie. And maybe the quiz and maybe a couple of other surprises. So here it is. It's Watch This, number 16. The 16th show, Watch This, coming up right now here on WMFO in Medford. Freeform.
Oh, yeah? Watch this.
Watch what?
And now, before the next show starts, let's enjoy an intermission. You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn, a complete assortment of delicious candy, and a full line of cigarettes. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now. A tasty treat will double your enjoyment of the show. For your convenience, we shall keep you informed of the remaining intermission time, 3 minutes before the next show starts. The next show will start in 2 minutes.
Just a minute, folks. Yes, that's all it takes to visit our refreshment counter in the lobby. There you'll find popcorn and an assortment of popular candy bars to please every taste. Try one of these delicious candy bars. Big Time, Butternut, Milkshake, Payday. Topped with Hollywood's super rich coating of the kind you like best. They taste wonderful, they're delicious, they're nutritious. Get one at our confection counter in the lobby now.
The next show will start in 1 minute.
Boys and girls, your attention, please. Presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Once again, hello, Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle. It is Watch This, show number 116. On 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle. Thank you for listening, and thank you for watching. Watching movies and TV over the years. Over the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about movies. One afternoon, I looked over my Blu-rays, my DVDs, my Laserdiscs, and my videotapes, and I realized I have just as many movies as I do CDs, cassettes, and records. So after 10 years of doing my show, Time Travel, here on WMFO, a new show for 2018 based on the love of movies. Because a favorite movie tells you a hell of a lot more about a person than just their favorite song. Here we go. Watch this. First movie is from 1971.
Ah! is about a movie about a couple of killers. Harry Callahan. And a homicidal maniac. The one with the badge is Harry.
Oh!
There were a lot of reasons they called him Dirty Harry. And he kept inventing new ones.
Don't pass out of him yet. No.
That was a pretty good pinch you made yesterday. The chief was pleased.
He was, huh?
Yeah, he really was. He wanted me to tell you, well done.
I'll tell you how deeply moved I am.
How do you like that? I pass along a compliment? You could at least be a little bit polite. It might not even kill you to say thanks.
I'd much rather say thanks to a raise.
Hey, Harry, check communications, something from Chicago. A gun nut.
I'm putting somebody with you.
Well, you know what happens to the guys that I've worked with. Dietrich's still in the hospital with a bullet in his gut, and Fanducci's dead.
Now, you're working with Gonzalez, or you're not working. Now, that's straight from the fifth floor. You got it?
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire six shots or only five? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Doesn't it drive your wife crazy?
Nope.
Yeah, she got used to it.
No, she never did, really.
Well, what then?
She's dead.
Oh, please forgive me.
She was driving home late one night and a drunk crossed the center line. There's no reason for it, really.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Look, I want you to tell Chico that I understand, you know, him quitting. I think he's right. This is no life for you two.
Why do you stay in it, then?
I don't know. I really don't.
Send Inspector Callahan in.
Mr. Mayor, Inspector Callahan.
All right, let's have it.
Have what?
Your report. What have you been doing?
Oh, well, for the past three quarters of an hour, I've been sitting on my ass in your outer office, waiting on you.
Damn it all, Harry, that's the mayor you're talking to.
Clint Eastwood. Detective Harry Callahan. You don't assign him.
Stop!
To murder cases. You just turn him loose.
Oh, what the hell is he doing up there?
First of the five flicks today is from 1971. It is Dirty Harry. Great soundtrack. It's directed by Don Siegel, who had done Invasion of the Body Snatchers, as well as Escape from Alcatraz a little later on in Clint Eastwood's career. Stars Clint Eastwood. It's also got the mayor in there from Animal House. John Vernon himself. Andy Robinson is Scorpio. One of the best psychos on screen, I think. Andy Robinson does a fantastic job freaking you out as the villain in this. Chief of Police is John Larch. the mayor of San Francisco again, John Vernon. Harry Gardino as Lieutenant Bressler, and Homicide Inspector Chico Gonzalez is Rennie Santori. A husband and wife team actually made up the script, which was about a hard-edged New York City police inspector named Harry Callahan, who is determined to stop a guy named Travis, which is the serial killer. I like Scorpio better. Scorpio is the final name that they used. The script was rewritten four times. In the original draft, the sniper ends up killing the serial killer in the end. And they rewrote that four times. I won't give away the ending if you haven't seen it. But one of my favorite movies, it says a lot about the fine line between being a criminal and being a hero. A lot of people call this fascist. It's got a very good rating here on IMDb. It's got a 7.8 out of 10. It's rated R. It's pretty violent. Its runtime is an hour and 42 minutes. So when the madman calling himself the Scorpio Killer menaces the city, tough as nails, 41-year-old San Francisco police inspector Harry Callahan is assigned to track down and ferret out the crazed psychopath by any means necessary. So he's almost like a bounty hunter, except he's getting paid by the police force. He has to be a bag man. He has to ferret out, you know, this guy and go through a bunch of twists and turns in order to find him. And the bureaucracy holds him back from justice here and there throughout the movie. It's a great flick. One of my favorites, again, on my five flicks today. The soundtrack was done by a guy named Lalo Schifrin. He created the music for the theme of Mission Impossible and the Bullet soundtrack. It's got kind of a very jazzy, psychedelic rock, classical music, and it's got some weird vocals in there too. It's kind of an acid jazz, I guess. One reviewer said that the soundtrack's influence is pretty much paramount. It's heard daily now in movies, television, modern jazz, and rock music. But at the time, it was kind of something new. And this guy, Lalo Schifrin, created the soundtrack. What I love, too, in this is you really get a slice of life of what 1971 San Francisco looked like. And there's also kind of a feeling of the descent into hell with Harry Callahan throughout the movie as he's moved from place to place in the cat and mouse game. It's a cat and mouse game that's played by not only the killer but by Harry too. Clint Eastwood made five Dirty Harry movies. After this, took a couple years off, and then he had, well, not a couple years off, but a couple years off as Harry. The second movie was Magnum Force in 1973, where the police, there's more policemen kind of like him, but kind of not like him, and he goes after him. The Enforcer, he's teamed with rookie female Lacey Arcagne, one of the ones Kate Moore plays, Teen Daly, who is an American actress, who I believed played Lacey in Cagney and Lacey. Then Sudden Impact from 1983, and then The Deadpool from 1988. He was 57 with The Deadpool and then decided to, or 58, I believe, and he decided to retire the character. Let's listen to a little bit of the Dirty Harry soundtrack. We'll be back in a moment. Let's watch this with Chris Earle here on WMFO in Medford.
That you My life is turned out all wrong. All I wanted was to make you happy. I've tried so hard to be good to you. Yeah, 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 yeah. No more lies, girl. Lay some truth on me, girl. You've been jiving much too long, yeah. Just take your mask away. Halloween season is gone. Oh, it's over, yeah, girl, all over. Yeah, 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 yeah. Stop your lying, girl.
A super cool soundtrack. A couple video games were made out of this. One of them came out in 1990 after the Deadpool came out. It was called The War on Drugs. Dirty Harry, The War on Drugs. It was put out on Nintendo, I believe. And then there was one in 2007 that was in early stages, and I believe the company went out of business. And it was going to be set in between the first two films, Dirty Harry and Magnum Force, and then the company ran out of money. Supposedly, Andrew Robinson, who played Scorpio, made a backstory for himself and involved him being drafted into the Vietnam War and seeing unspeakable horrors. When he returns home to the United States, he finds himself a figure of hate in his war experience, combined with people's treatment of the soldiers caused him to go insane. In Australia, there was a copycat crime in 1972, and they said it was based off of the Dirty Harry movie, where a teacher and six pupils were kidnapped at gunpoint and demanded $1 million. The government agreed to pay, and then the children managed to escape, and the kidnappers were subsequently jailed. One of them's last name was Eastwood. Clint Eastwood directed the scene with the suicide jumper. However, it's often claimed he directed the scene only because Don Siegel was ill. Siegel was ill but wasn't on the set, and Eastwood had always been scheduled to direct the scene. And the shooting schedule, 6 nights had been set aside for shooting the suicide scene. Eastwood told the studio he could shoot it in 2 nights, and in the end he shot the entire scene in 1 night. And that's why people love Clint Eastwood. He's always on budget or under budget. I'd like to see Dirty Harry come back. And, of course, the Zodiac Killer in San Francisco, as I said, was the basis for this villain in Dirty Harry. Later on, Zodiac, with Robert Downey Jr., they actually referenced Dirty Harry. Harry Callahan selected as the 17th greatest movie hero on 100 Years and 100 Heroes and Villains. And the Do I Feel Lucky quote ranked 51st on 100 Years, 100 Movie Quotes. and American Film Institute's other 100 years, 100 movie lists. It was on a number of best ofs. This is the sad ending to Dirty Harry when he tosses away his badge and says goodbye. Spoiler alert. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a great crime thriller and one of my favorite flicks, which is on my... It's one of the reasons why it's on my five flicks today, plus the fact that that soundtrack is just a killer. 1971's Dirty Harry. It's Watch This on WMFO in Medford. Let's go to flick number two. Big change of pace here compared to Dirty Harry, but it's also very dirty in itself. Flick two is Saturday Night Fever here on Watch This.
Good in my life. Two, twice. This raise today and dance at the disco. Well, I mean, I could dance with you, but you know, you're not my dream girl or nothing like that.
Are you as good in bed as you are on that dance floor?
Don't know what you make with some of these chicks. They think you gotta dance with them.
He's very good, yeah.
He's the best.
Hey, man, he's great. He's the king out there.
John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
She can dance, you know that? She's got the wrong partner, of course, but she can dance.
Okay, listen. I like you. We could dance together. That's it. We could just dance together and nothing more, nothing personal.
Can't last forever. It's a short-lived kind of thing. But I'm getting older, you know, and you know, I feel like, you know, so what? I'm getting older. Does that mean like I can't feel that way about nothing left in my life? You know, is that it?
Paramount Pictures.
Flick number two, Saturday Night Fever from 1977. Here's the Bee Gees. Be back in a moment. We'll watch this here on WMFO Medford.
Stay in the light.
Okay, here we go. Flick number two is the disco flick, Saturday Night Fever from 1977. It's rated a hard R. Lots of dirty language in this, and a lot of tough themes in this one. Most people probably think it's just a silly disco movie and they're all just dancing around and it's fun, but it's pretty gritty. It's as gritty as Dirty Harry, except in the streets of Brooklyn and Manhattan in 1977. As beautiful as some of the San Francisco scenes are in Dirty Harry, you know, it's just very sinister. And that's the same thing here in Saturday Night Fever. You have a lot of very beautiful shots, and you have a bunch of very sinister shots. It feels like a swamp, and it's just a hell. And Tony, the lead character, who's played by John Travolta, just needs to get out of it. And he's very unlikable. Like, pretty much most of the characters are pretty unlikable in this movie. And that's one of the things that John Travolta pulls off. He actually makes an unlikable character very likable. The dancing in this movie is just absolutely amazing. And it's really a slice of life. It shows you what the New York underground was like in 1977. Discos were mostly a black or a gay community. And after this movie, you know, you saw a lot of more white people showing up in their white polyester suits and their, you know, hot dresses, going to Club 54 and a number of the other underground discos, which now became the mainstream. And what's funny is, like, this movie came out in 77 and disco was kind of on the way out, and then after this movie it was back in again, and then finally, you know, died out by the end of the 70s. But an interesting time, and it's really kind of a neat movie. It's just this period in between the Vietnam War ending and the 80s, where you show this group of 20-somethings just going out and waiting for Friday or Saturday night to have sex and do drugs and get drunk and do it all over again the next week. So anxious about his future after high school, 19-year-old Italian-American from Brooklyn, Tony tries to escape the harsh reality of his bleak family life by dominating the dance floor at the local disco. So he's basically a god on the disco scene. Stars John Travolta as Tony Manero, Karen Lynn Gorney as Stephanie, Barry Miller as Bobby C, Joseph Calley as Joey, Paul Pape as Double J, and Donna Pescow, who's excellent in it, as Annette, and a very tragic character that she plays, but she's great in it. And the dance scenes in it are just phenomenal. I mean, it's something where you look at it, it's like, how does a body even do that? How do people even do that? Gene Siskel, the film critic, called it his favorite movie, and had seen it, you know, at least 20 or 30 times, according to Roger Ebert. And he ended up buying the suit, the white polyester suit from Saturday Night Fever. Like I said, it is a tough one to watch. People don't really realize it. I remember seeing it on HBO for the first time as a kid. And HBO in those early days, you know, they would purchase a few movies and they'd have a handful on every month. And this was one of them. And one of the things that HBO did, which was kind of unprecedented, but they did it back on network TV, is they would take an R-rated movie and they would make a PG movie for it. So that's what they did. They had the PG version of Saturday Night Fever on during the day, and then they had the R-rated version on at night. And the themes and the words that are used in this, I think this would probably get an NC-17 after that came out later on. I believe in like 1990 NC-17 came, because they use some pretty rough language and there's some stuff in it that's pretty crazy. So check it out, Saturday Night Fever. Check out the disco craze. Check out some great acting from John Travolta. Never been better. He's at the height of his popularity as Vinnie Barbarino from Welcome Back, Carter. They said the first day of filming, a few thousand people showed up in Brooklyn to see him. So they had to shut down filming by noon because they didn't have enough security to keep people back from John Travolta. In the background, David Shire with Night on Disco Mountain from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, which in itself is an amazing feat. The soundtrack is been on as one of the best soundtracks of all time, been on many different best of lists and on the billboard for years and years and years. Yeah, the PG-rated reissue was in 1979. That's what I got here. It received positive views regarded by many critics as one of the best films of 77. It's got a Rotten Tomato rating of 86%, and IMDb has a 6.8 out of 10, which I'm surprised. But I bet you a lot of people were upset because there's a lot of racist things in it, and there's a lot of misogynist stuff in it too. It's pretty crazy. Travolta on the dance floor is like a peacock on amphetamines. He struts like crazy. That was film critic Gene Siskel. He said, 1 minute into Saturday Night Fever, you know the pitcher is onto something, that it knows what it's talking about. And the beginning's great. It's like, you can tell from the song Saturday Night Fever, too. It's like, you can tell the way that I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. It basically sets everything up with that character. And you see him strutting down the street, and then finally, at the end of the song, when he gets to where he's going to go, later on, you have another character who says, I like the way you walk, so I waited outside to watch you instead of staying in the dance studio waiting for you. Denny Dillon from Saturday Night Live shows up in that in an early role, as well as the nanny herself, Fran Drescher, shows up. There was a 4K director's cut of 122 minutes released on Blu-ray in 2017, which includes both the director's cut and theatrical version, as well as bonus features. Paramount ended up making quite a bit of money on this one. Its budget was only $3.5 million. It made $237.1 million. Music, of course, by Barry Gibb, Maurice Gibb, and Robin Gibb, as well as David Shire. Just an excellent soundtrack. You have Tavares on here. You have a fifth of Beethoven, Walter Murphy, as well as all the great Bee Gees songs. We're going to listen to quite a bit of Saturday Night Fever here. Disco Inferno by the Tramps. How Deep Is Your Love? More Than a Woman, performed by Tavares as well as the Bee Gees. Again, one of my favorite flicks. And I'd consider this a musical. The music just propels the film along, and it actually tells the story. So when you see them dancing more than a woman, it's really telling you what's going on in the character's mind. It's really clever. This director here, he had only directed one thing before. His name was John Badham at the time. He had only directed one thing before. And then finally went on to do Blue Thunder and War Games, Short Circus and Stakeout. But the movie almost didn't get made. They needed a new director because John Avildsen, who had won for Rocky, he'd won an Oscar for Rocky, he was nominated. They had to pull him off the film. Travolta's sister shows up as the pizza girl early on in the movie. This is a little trivia for you. And the girl who plays Annette was almost considered too pretty for the role, so she corrected it by putting on 40 pounds and relearned her native Brooklyn accent, which she overcame while in American Academy of Dramatic Arts school. After the production ended, she quickly lost the weight she had gained for the role. I'll tell you, man, watching them dance, it's like you can't help but move, you know? I'm a big guy. I was never a dancer in high school. This was always way past my prime here. I never went to any of the dances. And the one time I went home right away. But I wasn't a dancer. And what I was proud of over time was I was told I was a good dancer by a number of people years later while I was on a cruise, which was fun. Let's listen to some of the Saturday Night Fever, Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. We'll be back in a moment. Let's watch this here on WMFO Medford.
Yeah.
the second of our five flicks today here on Watch This is Saturday Night Fever. In the background's Walter Murphy, Fifth of Beethoven. That whole scene with You Should Be Dancing, apparently when they first edited it, they just had a mid shot of John Travolta, so you couldn't see his feet. And eventually, Travolta went to the producer and said, I worked so hard, he ran 2 miles in a day, and he practiced 3 hours a day dancing. So he went to the producer, and he actually got final cut over the dance sequence. So in that dance sequence to the Bee Gees, You Should Be Dancing, Travolta is shown in just the main shot, other than one close-up where he's pointing at the crowd. So you can actually see him dance, and it's pretty amazing. You're like, I didn't even know people move like this. And again, disco was at its height of popularity, 76, 77. And then after this movie, it died about 2 years later. And that was the end of it by the end of 79. A lot of people made their feature debut in this movie. It's funny because the soundtrack is so up and fun. And there's a lot of tough themes in it when you actually see the movie. I rewatched it for the first time in at least 20 years. Just yesterday, in preparation for today's show, and I was like, "Wow!" I was surprised at like the language, the violence, and stuff. I was like, "Wow!" But it is a great movie. Let's just enjoy a little bit more of the soundtrack. We'll move on to flick number three. Want to check out some more trivia? I always go on to IMDb, look up Saturday Night Fever. I like to look at the Wikipedia as well. Thanks for listening to Watch This here on WMFO in Medford. I'll be back in a moment with flick number three.
95.5 WMFO Medford.